Please be seated for our second reading.
Hear the word of God from Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why are you standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the landlord said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, take my mind now and think through me. Take my heart and love through me. Take my lips and speak through me your words to teach and touch our hearts, that we may glorify you in our lives for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. I don't know if you noticed, but the very first word of our New Testament reading this morning was the word "for." It's a kind of therefore word, a kind of conjunction to give it a proper name, which links our reading to something which had been said previously. Now, in a conversation about wealth and how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus had said, "It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were absolutely astonished. Peter said, "We've left everything to follow you." In other words, we're quite the opposite. We're not rich at all. What will there be for us? And Jesus' response was twofold. First, he assured Peter and the disciples that they would, at the end of the age, sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then secondly, that everyone who has left close family and lands for Jesus' sake will receive 100 times as much and eternal life. And I'm just reminded of a story that Jackie Pullinger, the missionary who went to China and was ministering in part of Hong Kong, the Forbidden City. And she was mulling over this verse, this particular verse, and was thinking that the Lord had provided her with brothers and sisters, with mothers and fathers, but she hadn't actually got a grandmother. And that very day, the Lord provided a grandmother for her. And Jesus concluded with, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." And he followed this up with his parable about the workers in the vineyard. So let's look first of all at the landowner, the owner of the vineyard. In the parable, the landowner was evidently wealthy. He owned the vineyard. He needed laborers to dress and to keep it so that it provided a harvest every year. And so he went to the marketplace at 6 o'clock in the morning and hired the men who were looking for work. And he made an agreement with them to pay them a denarius a day for a day's work. That was basically the accepted wage for a laborer for one day's work. He went to the marketplace again at 9 o'clock in the morning, and again at 12 noon, and again at 3 p.m. And he hired more men. He didn't make an agreement with them, but he would pay them what was right. So even at 5 p.m., with only 1 hour of the working day left, he went again and found still others hanging about in the vineyard, unemployed. "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" he asked. "No one has hired us," they responded. One wonders if they were unemployable, in fact. You also go and work in my vineyard," said the landowner. So the landowner was not only wealthy, but clearly generous too, and concerned not only with his vineyard, but with the unemployed and the unemployable. At 6 p.m., at the end of the working day, the landowner instructed his foreman to pay the workers. But here's the first surprise. "Pay them beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." And immediately after that, the second surprise. He paid them all the same wage. They all received one denarius, whether they'd been working all day, or whether they'd worked just the last hour only, or any length of time in between. That could probably upset some of our trade unions. The result, those hired first began to grumble against the landowner. Which brings us to the workers. Let's begin with the workers who'd been hired just for the final hour. They'd not suddenly appeared in the marketplace. They must have been there, well, the parable tells us, they'd been there all day doing nothing. Why? Were they the sort of people that people didn't want to employ? The sort of people that you go out of your way not to employ? We don't know. But note that the landowner hired them anyway. Whatever each received a whole denarius, as did all those who had been hired at 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. And so, of course, when those first hired saw this, they expected to be paid more. "You've made them equal to us, who've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day," they complained. So let's just analyze that complaint. What are they saying? Well, first, that "you've made them equal to us" implies that they consider themselves superior or better in some way. In some way, they're more deserving. Their pride and their sense of fairness has been offended. And then secondly, By resenting what had been paid to the latecomers, they were not content with their own pay, despite the fact that right at the start, when they were hired at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'd agreed a denarius with the landowner. And that is, it means that they fell foul of the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Because if you covet something, it means you cease to be content with what you have. So no wonder the landowner asked, are you envious because I'm generous? So why was Jesus telling this parable? Well, Peter's, and therefore the disciples' question, because we guess he was speaking for his colleagues, we've left everything to follow you. What will there be for us? Was there just a hint of self-importance? A hint of a sense of superiority? Just a sense of being slightly better than perhaps other people? Was he suggesting that this sacrifice of theirs in giving everything up to follow Jesus deserved a greater reward? Well, if that was so, Jesus had read their hearts, and he checked their rising pride and their self-righteousness and this growing conceit with this parable to teach them humility. So let's just apply this parable. We find it comes to life on every side in the church today. Imagine, one person is called to faith and repentance in their youth. And to give a biblical example, think of Timothy, the Apostle Paul's young friend. And they work in God's vineyard for perhaps 40, 50 years, or perhaps even more, and they might even reach a senior position in the church. Someone else, another person, much older, who's lived the life of a hardened and impenitent criminal, basically, as a drug dealer, as trafficking people for personal gain over many years. And he's called late on in his physical life to faith and repentance. An extreme example of this, a biblical example of this, would be the thief on the cross. Although, let me say that not many people, very few people, actually come to the Lord on their deathbed. So is the person who served faithfully for many years and attained a senior position in any way superior or better than the criminal, the sinner, who was called late in life? This parable, or through this parable, Jesus says, no. It, indeed, the whole tenor of the gospel states that both are equally forgiven by God. Both are equally washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Both are equally clothed in God's righteousness, and both are equally accepted into eternal life. This was made possible by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the standard of God's kingdom, and it confounds the pride of human nature. Our God is sovereign. There's nothing unjust in his dealings. He is completely fair. God gives what he promised, and we should rejoice in that. If anyone hasn't yet responded to God's call, don't put it off. As I said, few people come to the Lord on their deathbed, and no one knows what tomorrow brings. Amen.